leaders in our medical work. Elmshaven, St. Helena, California. August 4th, 1903. To the leaders in our medical work. Dear brethren, I have a message for you. I am instructed to say that all the arrangements connected with the management of the medical missionary work are not to originate in Battle Creek. It is the deceptive power of the enemy of all righteousness that leads to the repeated attempts to bring all our medical institutions under the control of one organization. Certainly, such efforts are not inspired by the Lord. The medical missionary work is God's work, and in every conference and church, we are to take a decided stand against allowing it to be controlled by men. After I received word in regard to the excellent meeting of confession and unity that has been held in Battle Creek, I was writing in my diary and was about to record the thankfulness I felt because a change had come, when my hand was arrested, and there came to me the words, "Write it not. No change for the better has taken place. The doctor is ensnared in a net of specious deception. He is presenting as of great worth things that are turning souls from the truth into by and forbidden paths, things that lead human agents to act in harmony with their own inclinations and to work out their unsanctified purposes, things that result in destroying the dignity and power of God's people, obscuring the light that would otherwise come to them from God through his appointed agencies. The leaders in our medical work at Battle Creek have endeavored to bind our medical institutions fast, in accordance with their plans, notwithstanding the many warnings given them that this should not be done. Who has authorized them to lay all these plans and to try in many ways to bring about their purposes? Our sanitariums do not belong to them, and yet they desire to tie up these institutions in some way so that all our medical work will be under their control. In the past, I have written much upon this subject, and now I must repeat the admonitions given, because it seems difficult for my brethren to understand their perilous position. The Lord forbids that every sanitarium and bathhouse established should be brought under one control, bound up with the medical institution at Battle Creek. The managers of the Battle Creek Sanitarium have their hands full now. They should devote their strength to the work of making this sanitarium what it should be. The light given me of God is that Dr. Kellogg is assuming too much responsibility in these matters. He is not to think that he can be conscience for every one of our medical workers, for men are to look to the Lord God of heaven alone for wisdom and guidance. In establishing and developing medical institutions, our brethren must not be asked to work in accordance with the plans of a ruling, kingly power. A change must be brought about. Dr. Kellogg must see and understand this, and bind about his desires to fasten every medical institution to the central organization at Battle Creek. The Lord forbids. For years I have been instructed that there is danger, constant danger, that our brethren will look to their fellow men for permission to do this or that, instead of looking to God. Thus they become weaklings and permit themselves to be bound about with man-made restrictions disapproved by God. The Lord can impress minds and consciences to do his work under bonds to God and in a spirit of fraternity that will be in accordance with his law. God knows the future. He is the one to whom we are to look for guidance. Let us trust him to direct us in the development of the various branches of his work. Let none attempt to labor in accordance with unsanctified impulses. The division of the General Conference into District Union Conferences was God's arrangement. In the work of the Lord for these last days, there should be no Jerusalem centers, no kingly power. And the work in the different countries is not to be tied up by contracts to the work centering in Battle Creek, for this is not God's plan. Brethren are to counsel together, for we are just as much under the control of God in one part of the vineyard as in another. Brethren are to be one in heart and soul, even as Christ and the Father are one. Teach this, practice this, but we may be one with Christ in God, all working to build up one another. The kingly power, formerly revealed in the General Conference at Battle Creek, is not to be perpetuated. The publishing institution is not to be a kingdom of itself. It is essential that the principles that govern in General Conference affairs should be maintained in the management of the publishing work and the sanitarium work. No one is to think that the branch of the work with which he is connected is of vastly more importance than other branches.
There must be educational work in every sanitarium that shall be established. It is not the duty of Dr. Kellogg to carry so many responsibilities. God has control of the work, and no human agency is to feel that everything done in the sanitariums established must first be submitted to Dr. Kellogg. This course God forbids. The same God who instructed Dr. Kellogg will instruct the men and women who are called to do service for the Master in various parts of his vineyard. Human laws and arrangements are being framed that are not acceptable to God. They will not prove a savor of life unto life. I am under the necessity of lifting the danger signal. The managers of every one of our institutions need to become more and still more intelligent regarding their individual work, not by depending upon another institution, but, while preserving the identity of their work, by looking to God as their instructor, and by revealing their faith in Him through wholehearted service. Then they will develop talents and capabilities. Every man needs now to take his position on the old-time foundation of obedience to God. Let no one allow the propositions of any group of men to lead him, through a spirit of compromise, to accept wrong plans and principles. I have been instructed that history will be repeated and that the specious working of Satan will be revealed by human agents. We must work discreetly and determinedly to adjust matters. The recent effort to induce God's people to accept binding propositions is the last that should be passed by without a decided protest. Let us not take another step toward the acceptance of such propositions, lest we be ensnared. Brethren, let us firmly take our position now. In justice to our churches, we must now decide this matter, for we have a great work to do. We must now determine that every medical institution shall stand in its own individual right. Let every cord now be broken. Let our medical institutions refuse to be tied up with the Medical Association in Michigan. I shall now be prepared to say to our brethren, cut loose, cut loose. After taking your position firmly, wisely, cautiously, make not one concession on any point concerning which God has plainly spoken. Be as calm as a summer evening, but as fixed as the everlasting hills. By conceding, you would be selling our whole cause into the hands of the enemy. The cause of God is not to be traded away. We must now take hold of these matters decidedly. I have many things to say that I have not wanted to say in the past, but now my mind is clear to speak and act. I am sorry to be compelled to take the position that I am forced to take in behalf of God's people. In taking this position, I am placed under the necessity of bearing the heavy burden of showing the evil of the plans that I know are not born of heaven. This is the burden that many times in the past the Lord has laid upon me in order that His work might be advanced along right lines. How much care and anxiety, how much mental anguish and wearing physical labor might be saved me in my old age. But still I am under the necessity of going into the battle and of discharging in the presence of important assemblies the duty that the Lord has laid upon me, the duty of correcting the wrong course of men who profess to be Christians, but who are doing a work that will have to be undone at a great loss both financially and in the shaking of the confidence of the people. If I act conscientiously, I must meet the crisis. For I believe that the precepts which the Lord has given concerning his work in the past and at the present time point out the right way. And his plans, his thoughts, are as much higher than man's plans, man's thoughts, as the heavens are higher than the earth. God's voice is to be heard. His wisdom is to guide us. We must not be broken up by any human wisdom or devising. God has outlined his plan in his word and in the testimonies he has sent to his people. Oh, how sad it is that men allow themselves to be so wrought upon by the enemy that they dare venture to exalt their finite judgment in opposition to God's plans and purposes. Man's authority bears the signature of man. We are not to permit the rank and file of our people to come under the generalship of the weak, confused sentiments of man. God's authority is to stand supreme, and I must call upon his people to recognize his authority, which bears the evidence of its divine origin. Every believer is called upon to unite inseparably with God's authority.
The foundation on which the truth has always been based is sure, and upon this foundation all are to stand who are doing the Lord's work. God's word reveals his design, and that work only which is carried on in accordance with the principles of the word will stand fast forever, approved both by the heavenly host and the adopted family living on the earth during the remnant of time remaining before the close of this earth's history. Finite man, yielding to Satan's devising, can easily lose sight of the Lord's purpose concerning him. For by yielding to temptation, man loses his powers of discernment. Every Christian is to strive to be a laborer together with God. Christ calls for service altogether different from that which is given him. Men in positions of responsibility should, through the power of the Holy Spirit, reveal the Redeemer much more clearly to the world than they have revealed him. The infinite God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son as a sacrifice for us, in order that, receiving him by faith and practicing his virtues, we should not perish, but have everlasting life. My brethren, how do you suppose he regards the great lack of spiritual enthusiasm manifested over the record of the great sacrificial offering made for our individual salvation? All human ambition, all boasting, is to be laid in the dust. Self, sinful self, is to be abased, not exalted. By holiness to God in the daily life here below, we are to manifest the Christ life. The corrupt nature is to become pure and undefiled, subdued, not exalted. We are to be humble, faithful men and women. Never are we to sit upon the judgment seat. God demands that his representatives shall be pure vessels, revealing the beauty of sanctified character. The channel is always to remain unobstructed, that the Holy Spirit may have free course. Otherwise, spiritual leaders will gloss over the work that must be done in the natural heart in order to perfect Christian character, and they will present their own imperfections in such a way that they make of none effect God's truth, which is as steadfast as the eternal throne. And while God calls upon all his watchmen to lift the danger signal, at the same time he presents before them the life of the Saviour as an example of what they must be and do in order to be saved. Concerning his disciples, Christ prayed, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." John 17, verse 17. A pleasant, self-satisfied feeling is not an evidence of sanctification. A faithful record is kept of all the acts of the children of men. Nothing can be concealed from the eye of the High and Holy One, who inhabiteth eternity. Some make Christ ashamed by their course of devising, planning, and scheming.
God does not approve of their conduct, for the Lord Jesus is not honored by their spirit or their works. They forget the words of the apostles. Ye are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 9. In consequence of the unfaithful lives of men, who adorn not the doctrine of Christ our Saviour, Bible truth is blasphemed. My soul is grieved night after night and day after day as I view the present situation.